Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us now ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Will See You Through.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
How many believe that Jesus will see you through?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That God will take care of all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Amen?
Amen.
And so listen to the word, and it reads, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Say that with me. The Lord is at hand. One more time. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every one of us have a request. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Well, let God know about it. Can I get amen? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, I have this right up here on the screen. It says, the world in which we live is characterized by what?
Adversity.
Adversity. Saints of God, everywhere we look, there are disasters. There was a disaster not too long ago. I believe it was where they had the last tsunami. There was an earthquake and buildings just tumbled. And then there was another tsunami in Japan. I mean, there's disasters everywhere. People are still thinking that the big one in L.A. is happening soon. Then there's tragedies. Did you know the tragedies that are taking place now? In 1940, 1950, and the 1960s, there was no type of mass shootings whatsoever. If there was, it was big news. And man, people would cry watching it on TV back then. They would go, what? And now, since in 2003, there was almost 400 mass shootings. More mass shootings than there are days in a year. What has changed? What has changed? And then there's trauma and misery. Anyone experience misery? Suffering and loss. I know some people that had to turn in their keys and they lost their home. Loss. But what happens when our view of adversity becomes up close and personal? We see these things from afar, but what about when it happens to me? What about when it happens to you? How do you approach adversity? How do you deal with it? We're going to look at it this morning. How does the Lord want us to respond when we come face to face with trials? And how many of you have gone through trials? I mean, big, hard trials. Oh, yes. Many of us, huh? Many of us. And so, what is the Lord trying to teach us through our difficulties? What's He trying to say? What's He trying to do? What is He allowing in our life? Because God's going to allow many things to happen in your life, in my life. Things that come suddenly. They come unannounced. A trial and an adversity doesn't come knocking at your door. Can you let me in? Because I want to mess up your life for a while. No. They come through the doors. and they hit you hard. Look what Paul wrote here. Because if there was anyone that can identify what truly a trial, suffering, and tragedy, misery, loneliness, loss, was this man. And praise God for Paul the Apostle. Because if it wasn't what he had to go through, we wouldn't be reading about none of his epistles. Did you know the majority of the epistles he wrote were in prison? Chained up to someone else. And just imagine the stench that was in there. And so look at this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. And when I looked at that a little further, he saw people die in front of him as they were all being beaten for the cause of Christ. Praise God. Look at this in verse 24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, meaning beatings by his own Jewish brethren. Look at this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. You know what a steel rod looks like? Just imagine getting beaten with a steel rod. Once I was stoned. And he wasn't smoking a hookah. He wasn't stoned that way. He experienced an original rock concert where they picked up boulders and threw it at him. Look at this. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Look at this. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. When was the last time you got robbed and held up by somebody? In perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen betrayed him. In perils of the Gentiles, meaning those who weren't Jews. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. When he talked about that, when I looked at that a little closer, false brethren, this is false teaching, false religions. And how many are there right now that are so false? They'll beg and scratch at your door and want to come in and just turn you away from the truth. Look at this. Verse 27. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. I can imagine fasting because there was nothing to eat. This wasn't a Jenny Craig fast. In cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the church. Did you catch that last part? Through all that, his deep concern was the word of God would be part of our life 2,000 years later. He was concerned about the churches, about the people growing in their faith, that they too can make it. You see, this was recorded for us to let us know that whatever trial comes our way, we can go through that. Can I get amen? We can make it. If Paul can, we can. I mean, this is, we only go through a fraction of what he's gone through. And so, saints, the Apostle Paul described the various forms of adversity that he personally experienced. And remember this, in his service for Christ, because he was serving the Lord. He was imprisonments, beatings, shipwrecks, exposure to hunger, thirst, and he mentioned all other dangers. Look at this right up here. Why would the Lord allow Paul, the man who introduced the Roman world to Jesus Christ, to suffer like this? And then eventually he was killed. Did you know that Paul was eventually killed? But I'm here to let you know, for our sake, Because we never know what's going to happen in this country. Can I get an amen? The way it's going right now, the way the armies are building, our next confrontation is going to be with China. Believe it or not, there's a war coming. You better prepare for that. There's a war coming, a big war coming. And be prepared for it. This is why these teachings that you hear all the time is to prepare you. Prepare you on what's coming. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you the truth. Those countries hate us. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, all the Arab countries, they hate us. They look at us as the big Satan and Israel as the little Satan. And let me just say, why do they think that? Because they think we fell off the deep end because of the slippery slope of our sexual immorality in our nation. We're being corrupted from within.
Yes, we are.
They're going, what happened in that country? They have transgenders in their army. We could go wipe them out now. Wow. It's all happening before our eyes. And we need to wake up, church. Church, we need to wake up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So, I'm here to let us know, though, that right up here, all adversity is not bad. It's not bad. I like to say it like this. Sometimes it's good for us. What are you talking about, preacher? I go, yeah. Sometimes adversity is good for us. You know why? It'll get your mind focused on the Lord. Because some of us sometimes stray and we start going into error, walking in error. And so from a human perspective, Paul's sufferings may seem unfair. I looked at that. We just read what he went through. Man, he did that for Jesus? It is kind of unfair, isn't it? Not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God. God used his hardships and pain to what? Accomplish his will. You got to remember, God had grace and mercy on Saul of Tarsus. He was a stiff-necked Jew. Oh, that's right. He was the first house invasion guy. He was the drive-by guy. And what he would do, he would go and capture all the Christians and crucify them and kill them and throw them to the lions. He would do all kinds of malicious things. But God said, okay, I'm still going to use you. And during his imprisonment in Rome, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians. He wrote letters to Timothy, to Titus, to Jude. And what we're learning on Wednesday night, to the Romans. He wrote it to all these people. Why? Because God gave him, hallelujah, illumination, revelation on who Jesus is. Did you know that Jesus, when he comes back, he's not coming back as the little infant in the manger.
He sure isn't.
He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back as a man of war. And if you read the book of Revelation, his robe is dipped in blood. Because he goes after his enemies. Can I get amen? So you need to find out what side are you on. Are you on his side?
That's right.
Are you on Jesus' side? Hallelujah. Because there's no in between. You can't be lukewarm. The Bible says, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Wow. His letter to the Philippians was filled with joy, though. Because he understood that through adversity, God accomplishes his divine purposes and works for our, yours, mine, our ultimate good. Can I get amen? Amen? Let me just ask you this. Even through whatever you go through, has he been good to you?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Come on, God's been good to us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, he's been good. That's right. You can take care of every. Listen, if he never gave me anything else from this moment on, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to give him glory. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know why? Because he saved me from a place called hell.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord.
We were all headed there in a handbasket. But he went through the highways and the byways looking for us. Oh, that's right. How many of you from National City? That's right. He went into Nasty City to find us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. Oh, come on. Yeah, well, good thing could come out of Nazareth, right? That was like a National City back in the day. So we need to look at this, saints. Characteristics of adversity. We're going to dive in now. We're going to look at adversity. Because look, number one, look at this. Adversity is universal. Everyone goes through adversity in the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Even the richest people in the world go through adversity. Billionaires. Where money is not an object to them. Yet, they still go through adversity. They still grow old and die. They still get diseased. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's everywhere and can affect every area of our life. Adversity does. And number two, look at this. It's impartial. It's impartial. What does that mean? That means every one of us are going to experience it in one form or another. Because we live in a fallen world, saints of God, trouble comes to all of us. Even believers, yes, even believers, no matter what our financial or educational status is, adversity will come. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That's right. And look at number three here. Adversity is painful. Painful. Oh, that's right. I shared with our ministry this morning, the pain that I go through. It's painful. I ask God. That's why God gave me this message. I ask God, God. And I keep hearing his little quiet voice. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Okay, Lord. Let me stop complaining and just praise you. And glorify you. Even through it. You see, the pain can be physical. The pain can be emotional. The pain can even be relational. But whatever the source, it hurts. Someone walks out of your life, it hurts. Someone lays you off and you are making good money, it hurts. And in my industry right now, I'm hurting. The real estate market has taken a fall. That's why you don't see, you rarely see houses for sale now. No one's going to leave a 3% commission, a 3% interest rate to go to an 8%. And no one can afford $1 million home now with 3.5% down. You're looking at a $7,500 a month payment. No thanks. I'd rather rent a room. Adversity, huh? It's adversity in our nation here, in our country, in our city. Well, that's right. And look at this. Sometimes adversity comes suddenly. Suddenly. Like I shared earlier, it doesn't knock at your door. It doesn't give you a text. Hey, listen. This is adversity. And I'm coming in about 5 minutes. If I got a text like that, I go, this is junk mail. Delete. You see, my friends, life could be going on as normal. when an accident or a negative report from the doctor leaves us unexpectedly devastated. I remember a month ago, my urologist said, "No, I'm sorry, I need you to speak to the chief guy." He came in the room. He goes, "It appears you have prostate cancer." I said, "Really? Okay." And I was calm as a whistle because I kept hearing God, "Don't believe that report. Don't believe that report." He goes, "Yes, we see the tests here, and it appears we need to do further tests." So they did further tests. They did what's called a free test, and it had nothing to do with cost, but it was another method of how they examine your prostate. And they did extensive blood work, and they said, "We'll call you back next week. And then we're going to have to talk about options and how to remove it." So I get a call from his nurse. "Is this Mr. Sullivan?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You don't need to come in next week. Everything's clear." I said, "You know what? Jesus already told me that." Hallelujah. Isaiah says, "Whose report are you going to what? Believe." I'd rather believe the report of the Lord. Can I get amen? Because he's for us, not against us. God wants to heal us. God wants to deliver us. God wants to take care of us. Can I get amen? He knows we live in a fallen world. He knows that we fall short. He knows that these bodies are frail and weak, that will go back to the dust. He knows all that. That's why he sent Jesus, hallelujah, the great I am, the great healer, to heal us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. You got to confess some things to God. Sometimes we fall into sin and God allows these things to happen. But then we got to confess them and say, "God, forgive me." And then God comes in like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And then he'll touch your life. He'll bless you and restore you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because he's the God that's Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. For he is God. Hallelujah. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. He's worthy. And then number five. Look at that. There are times that have arisen. They may prolong. They may prolong. Oh God. How long, God? How long, oh God? Hallelujah. Oh, come on. And we cry out, "How long, oh God? It's only been 5 minutes. My stomach hurts so bad. How long, oh God? Only been 5 minutes. Sometimes the emotional or physical pain continues for years, though.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Listen, have you ever had a really bad breakup, a divorce, someone that's left you, it leaves a scar. And until God truly heals you from it, you're gonna allow that thing to fester like cancer. But this is where you have to give it to God. Say, "God, you know what? I can't control this. I give it to you, Lord." What did we sing this morning? "I give myself away so that you can use me." Hallelujah. That was a right on song there. I give myself away. Because we need to understand that God's in total control. Can I get amen? And then look at this, number six. Sometimes it can be so intense. That 5 minute stomach ache. Oh, come on. It could be intense. Look at the brother that was in a coma. Was his name Carlos? Carlos Ortiz. They were writing him off. The doctor wrote him off.
Sure did.
Let's pull the plug. We serve a mighty God. He's worthy to be praised. Worthy.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. That's right. We may hurt so badly that even those who try to bring comfort, they even feel the pain. People lay hands on you, pray for you, they feel your pain as well. Hallelujah. But it's not always going to be like that. And then we look at number 7. Adversity is often beyond our control. It just shows up. And sometimes we may feel helpless and have no answer for why God would allow us to go through it. A lot of times we become like Job's friends. Listen, be careful when someone tries to share advice with you. Well, maybe you could be in sin. Didn't Job's friends say that? And yet God chose to use Job to go through what he had to go through so that we can see back then what he will do for us today. Can I get an amen? And so, we sometimes need to ask questions regarding adversity. How many of you asked God, why God? How many of you came to your brother and sister, why God? See, when adversity leaves us confused, we often ask two primary questions. The first one would be this, why? You know how I answer that? This is just me. Pastor Fee 101. Why not you? Why not me? Huh? Why? Even Jesus asked this question when he was hanging on the cross. Look at right up here. Look. My God, why have you what?
Forsaken me.
He asked the same severe question. He thought that he was there left all by himself. It was so hideous. His father had to turn his face from his own son as he took your transgressions, my transgressions upon that cross. You see, my friends, the Lord is compassionate toward our pain. He understands our limited perspective. And even he understands our confusion. Sometimes we get confused. Was it me? Is it the devil? Well, who is it? And why? We always go, why? Why? But he also knows the good he intends to accomplish. You have to look at it in another perspective. What he wants to accomplish in my life while I go through it. Always look at it like this, that you know what? At the end of this trial, he's going to make me better than I was.
Yes.
He's going to give me more knowledge, more understanding. He's going to allow me to see, okay, you know what? You've gone through that because you sought me with your whole heart. You sought me. You see, my friends, he intends to accomplish all the adversity because he sees the future. How many believe that God sees the future? Oh, come on. He sees the future. Look what it says in Revelation right here. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And here it is. I am. Say that with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Come on, he's coming again. He's coming soon. Can I get an amen? And he will one day deliver us. Can I get an amen? We won't have to be in this body that's always sometimes up and sometimes down. A lot of our emotions are like roller coasters. I love you this morning, but I hate you tonight. Oh, no, you never been there, right? Okay, just me. See, sometimes he reveals his purpose to us, but often we won't understand until we actually get to heaven. You know, Paul asked God to remove that thorn. So in the meantime, saints, we can trust him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Knowing he always works out things in our life for the best. So we ask the question, why? But then here's a question, who? We usually want to know who caused our trouble or pain. And there are three possibilities up here. Right up here, there's three. And there's only three. There's nothing else. Look at this. Often the who is me. And then old Slewfoot, Satan, he has a hand in it too. And then God sometimes brings adversity. And not to destroy us, he brings it to strengthen us. Because he is the great teacher. Oh, that's right. Just imagine if you never taught your children anything. You never disciplined them. Never brought them up with good manners. They would be rebels without a cause. They'd be in juvenile hall before they got to the age of 12. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, God has established the principle of sowing and reaping. I hope you know that. If we sin against the Lord or others, adversity may be the consequence of our choices. Listen, if you sin against someone else, you better watch out. Be careful. Especially if you sin against another saint in the church. Watch what you say. Don't slander anyone. Don't backbite people. Don't talk. Listen, I always said it best. If you have nothing good to say about someone, say nothing at all. Can I get an amen? Old school was this way. Psst, 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 psst. We're like this. No. Don't say anything. But give me more. Don't say anything, but give me more. Oh, yeah. The decisions we made in the past have led us to where we are today sometimes. Can I get amen? So sometimes it's us. And we got to confess, oh, God, it was me, God. Okay, God, chastise me, use me, but restore me, God. And God will restore you because he loves you. And then you got this guy, Slewfoot. He's relentless. Do you know that he hates you? He's not your friend. Don't ever think that this guy's your friend. He hates God's people. And if you get time to read the book of Job, you'll understand. The Bible says in the book of Job that Satan would always go up to heaven and tell God, the only reason why you bless that man is because you have a hedge of protection around him. Remove that, and I'll get him to curse you in your face. You know what? God said, all right, bet's on. But just don't kill him. I'm going to remove my protection. This is a conference. Read the book of Job. This is God talking to Satan about us, about people. Did you know the Bible says in Revelation that the accuser of the brethren 24/7 talks about you? Whenever you do anything, he goes to God and starts squealing on you. Oh, that's right. He's a tattletale. Oh, he does? Yeah, he's a snitch. Come on, we go. Oh, now we're going to come up with all kinds of names in here. Because we all once called each other that, right? No. But the book of Job has a unique conversation between Satan and God. And so what happened in that story? God put down the hedge, and Satan took out his children, took out his property, took out his finance, and the only one that was left with him was his wife. And his wife said, curse God and die. Okay, so we look at that as a derogatory thing? No. She knew that the only way to be delivered from misery was if you curse God, he'll kill you, because you need to be put out of your misery now. Did you know that when she said curse God and die, he had boils that were pussy boils all over, that were ooing and gooing all over his body, because Satan touched his body, killed his children, took his finances away. And so she said, just curse God so that he can kill you and you can die, because I can't kill you and you don't kill yourself. She was doing it in a whole different way, that this is the only way to be relieved from your misery. Wow. And God allowed it. And if you read the rest of the story, Job did not curse God one time. You know what he said? Who can remember what he said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in other words, God gives us all and he can take it all. But I'm still going to bless God. And at the end, he started praying for his three friends that came and gave him false advice. And he started praying and praising God. And God restored everything he had tenfold. Gave him twice as many children back. Gave him all his cattle back in some, all his property, and he was the wealthiest man on the earth at the time. God allowed him to go through. Praise God. And then, God, even him, will send adversity. The Lord is sovereign, and he controls all adversity in your life and my life. That's why, saints of God, it's important to remember how much he loves you and I. How many believe that he truly loves you? Well, guess what? Because he loves you, he will see you through. He allows us to go through the pain and the suffering and even the loss. Then he has something good that he wants to accomplish in us. Can I get amen? Amen. I shared with a few of you that in our early church, we were at the Regal Cinema Theater. This is, I'm going to say, about 17 years ago. And a whole bunch of people, my own family member, I'm talking blood family, came against the ministry. And we had to step down, finding out that I didn't have to step down. It was not me. It was all these lies that came up. And so God said, I allowed you to step down so that you can draw closer to me, because I have a mighty call in your life. And I was strengthened from that to keep going now. Come what may, you just keep going. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. If I would have just folded like a deck of cards, you guys would be in someone else's church this morning. Oh, come on. But it was the Lord. When the Apostle Paul understood that his thorn in the flesh was designed to keep him humble and dependent on Christ, he was able to say this right up here. Look at this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, no matter what you're going through, hallelujah, give God all the praise. Give him all the glory. Give him all the honor. Hallelujah. Why? Because God will empower you through your adversity, through your trial. He will bless you. Hallelujah. As you go through it. He's not telling you to run from it. He said embrace it like Paul did. Paul embraced it and said, okay, You know what? Through my weakness, you're going to make me strong. Through my illness, you're still going to bless me. You're still going to fill me with joy. Can I get an amen? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. He's worthy to be praised. And so, this is what we have to be careful when adversity comes. Okay? These are like the do's and don'ts now, what we're going to see. We're going to look at responses to adversity. How do we? I'm hoping this is a teachable moment for us today, so that we can be strengthened. We can be filled with knowledge and understanding, so that we, when we are experiencing these things, we can do what's called a recall. Yeah. Going back, say, I remember, I wrote this down. I remember Pastor said this. I remember what he said. And so, depending on our hardships and suffering, will either drive us closer to the Lord or away from Him. Can I get an amen? So one of the things we love to do when adversity comes is the blame game. We could respond by looking for someone to blame, but this approach only intensifies our anger until we become bitter. Don't look for someone to blame. If anything, say, God, you allowed this to happen to me, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to magnify you. No one did this to me. Matter of fact, most of the time we did it to ourselves. And then when adversity comes, we want to escape. We want to escape. That's right. Another option to try to avoid pain and problems by dulling over our senses. You ever been through adversity where your senses were dull? Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. Although drowning our sorrows with sometimes alcohol, taking drugs, engaging in sexual illicit affairs. Sometimes it seems like that's the answer. No, it's just going to put you in a deeper pit of hell. Can I get an amen? It'll sink you deeper. It only complicates our lives and leads us to more and more problems. You heard that saying, you jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Jesus. And then we have this, denial. Denial. You know what? If God allows you to go through something, give Him praise and glory. Say, God, you know what? I'm keeping this real with you, God. You created me. You know every cell and fiber of my being. If I'm going through this, Lord, there's purpose. And I'm going to believe there's purpose, God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have a negative thought toward this. You're allowing me to experience this so that I can praise you and glorify you. But more importantly, that I can know how to pray for someone else that's going through the same thing or something more fierce. Can I get an amen? Because God wants to use you. He wants to use your pain so that you can relieve someone else's pain. That you will learn how to comfort someone else. Can I get an amen? From the north over here? Can I get an amen from the west over here? Come on. We got the north wing and the west wing here. What happened to our one brother in the south wing? Oh, he's not here. He's not here today. He's on vacation. He went fishing. Gone fishing. Saints of God, if we claim that all is well when it isn't, we'll continue to suffer internal hurt and anger. We got to come to a grip of it. Okay? I'm dealing with this, but God, you're going to see me through. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And then we find ourselves in this one. Oh, you've never been there. Right? A pity party never accomplishes anything positive. How many have been to these kind of parties before? Oh, woe is me. So, sometimes I'm going to say this, because we sometimes our dog barks for no reason. Chikaroo, he'll just bark for no reason. And one of the things that we, Yolanda and I will say, shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. Not the mouth, mouth. And he does that. But sometimes we need to shut our mouth. Can I get amen? Amen. Okay, can I get amen? Amen. Sometimes we gotta own it. Okay, all right. I'm going through right now. God, I'm gonna give it to you. Can I get amen? Amen. Now listen, you can come to me for a prayer. I won't tell you to shut your mouth. Okay? I'm not saying that. Jesus help us. Amen. But listen, this is what we do though when that adversity comes, is this: seek the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. Seek the Lord. Seek Him with your whole heart. We have to come to God with our confusion, our pain, asking Him to help us so that we can learn to trust Him. He doesn't take delight in our suffering, but wants to use it to achieve what's best for you and I. And so we're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close, but look at this. Principles to help us through adversity. We need to know these things to help us. Can I get amen? Are you guys getting something out of this? Or is it just me up here squabbling? You would? Oh, okay. I got one that's with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. The rest want to go and eat fish tacos somewhere. I don't know. Take me with you when you're done. So we need to look at principles to help us through adversity. Saints of God, if we're confident of the Lord's love for us and understand how He uses adversity in our lives, guess what? You and I will be able to learn how to trust Him in any adversity that comes. And respond in a way that benefits us. I want to be benefited through the adversity times. Can I get a minute? I want to, okay, God, you taught me this. And there's some things now you can learn to avoid. And then sometimes things that we say. And then sometimes when God says, I need to strengthen you. Okay, God, yes, strengthen me, Lord. Look at this. Adversity is one of God's most effective tools for strengthening our faith. How many want your faith strengthened? Embrace when adversity comes and learn from it, saints. You see, if we focus on the ways He's working within us and enabling us to endure many afflictions, our trust in Him will grow even if our circumstances stay the same. In other words, He hasn't lifted them yet. But by learning to trust Him, we'll go through it with unspeakable joy. Did you know that you can have joy and pain at the same time? Oh, come on. This morning when you guys were praying for me, the joy of the Lord was upon me. Hallelujah. I walked out of that room with joy in my heart, knowing that my feet ain't right yet. And God's going to do something about that. Because I'm trusting Him. So I need you to see this right up here. The Lord sends adversity to help us, not to hurt us. God's purpose for allowing pain is to achieve something good for our life. He may be trying to correct us or produce godly character in us. In the case of the Apostle Paul, as we've been reading and learning, God protected him from pride and taught him to depend on Christ alone. Because he was a very prideful man when he was Saul of Tarsus. Because he said it best like this. Look at this right up here in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." You know what buffet means? To prod you, to poke you, to harass you. That's right. To buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. God allowed this because he was so intellectual. He was the Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was from the line of Benjamin, the tribe of Judah. This guy was the attorney of the day. And when God flipped his heart, and God gave him a new name, not Saul of Tarsus, but Paul the Apostle, God took that same character that he had, that yearning for knowledge and wisdom, God flipped his heart. He became born again, and then God gave him revelation after revelation after revelation. And so God allowed this thorn to come to him so that he would not be big-headed, puffy-headed. Oh, look at me now. And a lot of times when God is using you, stay humble. Can I get amen? You're winning people to the Lord. Stay humble. Don't say, "Oh, look at me. Look what I'm doing now." God had to really rebuke me years ago when people were getting baptized left and right in our jacuzzi. I was writing down their names. I was counting. And then God spoke to me and says, "Wait a minute. Are you doing this or me?" I said, "You are Lord." I threw it all away. I stopped counting. I said, "Lord, just bring them. Just bring them, God. That they'll come and get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost." Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Paul went further and said this. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me," what? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I would rather," what? "Boast in my infirmity." Man, he was, if there was anything to boast about, he was boasting about what he was going through. God allowed me to go through this so that I can give him glory. Hallelujah. That he can testify to people saying that you too can make it. You too can go through and still make it. Hallelujah. That the power of Christ will, my what? So look, he said in verse 10, "Therefore," can you actually say what he just said right here? "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." What? "And reproaches, and needs, and persecutions, and distresses." For whose sake? For Christ's sake. Know that it's about Jesus. Can I get amen? Whatever God's allowed in your life, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Thank you, God. "For when I am weak," what? Praise God. So, my friends, you need to always know this. God is always with us. Never think what you're going through, what you're experiencing right now. He's always with you. And we may not feel his presence every now and then, but he has promised to never leave us. Did you know that? We can't go by feelings. God will sometimes allow you to go through a desert place without feeling him. And you think he's left you. He hasn't left you. He's allowing you to thirst for him. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Hebrew church, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you." God is with you. He will stick closer than a brother. God has your back. He has your front. He has your coming and you're going. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The question is he Lord of all? In your home, in your life, in your marriage, with your children, on your job. Is he Lord of lords and King of kings? You see, my friends, adversity can be a precious gift from the Lord. A precious gift. That's what Paul, we just read what Paul said. He became the greatest apostle that ever lived. Pain and hardship are the instruments he uses to correct our thinking. And it turns us around. And it causes us to guide unto his path that much closer. And so I'm going to ask these two questions and we're closing. Number one, as you look back at past adversity, what greater understanding have you gained about God's character, his promises, and his purposes for your life? Think about that. What have you gained out of it? Or, oh, here we go again. Does anybody know where the Toms are? What do we gain out of it? Number two, what principles have you learned from God's word that will help you respond to your trials as he desires? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a question that we all need to know. That's a question that God wants to do what? Something marvelous in your life. And maybe, just maybe, those that are on YouTube and Facebook, those who have logged in right now, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you're going through something so, I'm going to say, excruciating, that you don't know what to do anymore. Well, here at Amazing Grace, as pastor of this church, we know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. That God can be your healer. That God can be the lifter of your head. That God can restore what the enemy has taken from you. The Bible says that he will restore what the canker worm has stolen from you. Some of you have gone through so many relationships. It's pathetic. And yet God still wants to restore you. Maybe some of you right now are going through drugs and you've gone through rehabs. You've gone through the victory outreaches of the world. And yet you're still battling with addiction. God's able to set you free. God's able to heal you. God's able to deliver you. Maybe some of you right now just lost your job and don't know when the next opportunity is. I'm here to let you know that God will open up doors that no man can shut. And then he'll shut all the doors that no man can open.
That's right.
How many of you trust God? And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. That if you're watching right now, the call that God is sending to your life right now is because he wants to do something radical, miraculous, and something exciting and dynamic to your life. And that is salvation. And so, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. Because when we all pray together like this, we're coming in one accord that God wants to save you and heal you and bless you. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Oh, come on, is he worthy? Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.